The NAFTA podcast.
Sometimes may be good, sometimes may be shit.
NAFTA pod 209. Welcome back. You got myself, Michael, and Dylan in the building. Nick, apparently a mile above us now on a plane, hopefully. Where's he headed? Do you have any clue?
Chicago.
Oh, nice.
I missed him by a day.
Oh, you're going too?
We have a work conference there, so I'm literally going to be going in on Monday when he's coming back.
Is he going for a bachelor party?
Well, we are going there for a bachelor party, but no, I think... Actually, he might be. I don't know. I forget, to be honest. I should have listened.
Well, we wouldn't have been able to hear anything because over his complaining about the Man United-Chelsea game. That'll come a little bit later. Michael, any reason for the winter coat, if any of you are watching on YouTube?
I just want to let Nick know, up in the air, up at that altitude, it's very cold. It's very cold up there.
Okay. Very cold, Palmer?
Cold, same thing, you know? That's why I got the coat. That's why I got the damn coat on, brother.
I know, Cold Palmer, his nickname, right?
Yes, this is his celebration, what I was doing the entire time. Yep. Thank you for spelling out the joke. I appreciate it.
Michael forgets that this isn't always a visual medium, so you got to kind of lead people to water every once in a while.
I put my apartment on 62 degrees, so I could also make the gesture.
There you go.
So, you know, Daddy, I'm a method actor.
Do you run? Do you like it at 62?
No, we have electric heat, so I just don't need my bill to be $400.
I feel you. 62 actually sounds magnificent to me, but I married she's from Ohio, but she's a Sardinian, so she can sit in 80 degree weather and not sweat, me not so much. I love the cold. So anyway,
me not so much. I love smoking.
I love the smoke. Yeah. I love the smoke. Speaking of, like, subscribe, share. That was a bad transition, but here we are. Watch us on YouTube. Subscribe to wherever you get your podcasts. We are back to a regularly scheduled setup, which is great. Also, next Thursday, I'm going to be on that Manchester City podcast again. I think it's a Thursday night live thing on Shades of Blue. So if you want to watch that, by all means, I'll probably post about it. It should be interesting. I do feel like it finally allows me to be a little bit more unfiltered about Man City because there are four other Man City fans. So if I bitch to them, I'm not bitching to Dylan's the Wolves fan. I always feel bad about that, man. So
it's all right. At this point, I have Nick bitching to me now, and I'm trying to explain to him what it's like to be in mid-table. So I'm here as AA for you guys.
Yeah. No, I appreciate it. You have a unreplaceable role on this podcast for sure. Other news. I don't know if I brought this up on the pod, but I'm officially going under the knife on Tuesday. So T's and P's or whatever you believe in, keep them for me. The ACL surgery needs to happen. So we'll see how that goes.
I love John in medical anything because he always just asks me questions and he's like, it's like, how concerned should I be? And I'm like, they have to fuck up so bad to kill you in ACL surgery.
Yeah, dude.
Like, it would have to be, like, you would get an outrageous payout.
Yeah.
Like, it would be incredible.
So, Dylan, I would love your take on this. Yeah, exactly. I would love your take on this because last night, I was talking to my wife and I said, Lex, like, it's confirmed for Tuesday. She's like, are you nervous? I was like, not really. And I said, honestly, if something bad happens, like, you're taken care of. Like, that's what's going to be sick about this whole thing. And she got pretty pissed about that statement. And I was like, what the fuck? She's like, I wouldn't have you. And I was like, yeah, but you'd be like a millionaire.
We're so defeatist. We're just like, that's what I am when I run. Like, when I go running, I know it's not the same, but. And people come out of, like, alleyways or, like, up to stop signs, and they're just flying, and they slam on their brakes, and they're about to hit me. And I'm just like, if you hit me and I die for some reason, like, I'm totally in the clear. Like, this was not my fault. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I totally agree. So, I confirmed have a torn ACL, apparently had a torn ACL during the marathon, and just kept going, built different. Shout out to me. Pat myself on the back. Right, Michael?
Absolutely. Good job.
Yeah. Love it. Anyway, so that's what's going on. Guys, match week, I think we're at match week 30, 31, which is just completed. We watched a barn burner of a game between Man United and Chelsea, which we're going to get to later. We're going to do predictions for the next match week, which happens in literally 36 hours. But first, we might as well do it. We got three guys. I think it's a good number. Dudes of the week. Bless you, Dylan.
Sorry.
No, you're good. Dudes of the week.
Allergies.
I will go ahead and go first just because although we do it almost every episode, it looks like at least Michael's not prepared. Dylan, I'll have you go second. Michael, you can go third. Is that fair?
That's fine. I was responding to my Chelsea fans saying that Cole Palmer's better than Phil Foden, which I said he just is not.
I'll start us off there. Dude of the week, Phil Foden. Michael saw me in a really bad place at 1-1 City Villa for the first 35 minutes, and my guy got me out of it. So Phil Foden has just been the best player on the Manchester City team. I'm sure he's been a dude of the week before, but I'm going to start it there. He deserves some plaudits. Shout out to Phil.
I'm going to go off soccer and opening the game 5-on-5 fighting. Sick. Especially when it happens when you're there.
Oh, nice.
For those who don't know, the Devils and the Rangers don't like each other. And Matt Rempe, I should have just done a Matt Rempe one, but he got suspended because he laid someone out on the Devils last time they played, and it led to, I think it ended up being 9 people being kicked out of the game within the first 3 minutes. Mm-hmm. So made for an entertaining 4-3 Rangers win. And ironically enough, this date today, 12 years ago, so a day later basically, there was another 5-on-5 brawl between the Devils and the Rangers. So like, just go to the Devil Ranger game every 12 years in April and you're good.
That tri-state fighting. Dylan, I'm surprised you didn't want to shout out Sid the Kid.
I don't give a shit about him.
2 goals and an assist in a Pens win against the Rangers that I got to attend a couple days back.
No, I didn't watch that game.
Didn't run into your parents. I was looking for him. I think the seats we were in were pretty close to where you guys sit, though.
They're in the second level, like right
200?
Behind that.
Gotcha. Do you get Ranger attacking twice?
Yeah.
We were like same side then, for sure. Great seats, honestly. MSG also, I'm an MSG hater. Better what? For hockey. Yeah, I think it's overrated.
You're okay, Midwesterner. You're wrong.
It just is like, it's actually like, there needs to be a lot of updates there. But decent for
hockey.
Have you
seen the outside? It only took him 5 years. Looks great.
Good point. Valid point. I think the inside needs a little bit more of a facelift. Michael, who you got your dude of the week back-to-back?
So, first off, Dylan, I swear this is not a dig. I got Morgan Gibbs-White. I know you don't like him. He will have, I hope somebody in the Prem picks him up from another team. Can't stay at Nottingham Forest much longer, in my opinion. He will have the same effect on a team as someone like Madison, in my opinion, in that middle role. I should have picked Nottingham Forest. I had been. I thought they would step up. I didn't pick them this week, and they stepped up, so I might have just wolves myself with them. But then second pick, I have to go before someone else takes it, is Alexis McAllister, because the goal was just absolutely disgusting.
Yeah, that was a howitzer, for sure.
Howitzer.
There's been a lot of rockets this year, like in a good way.
He has two. He has two nasty ones, to be fair to him. Yeah.
I was reminded watching, like, I'll talk about it later, but I forgot that Garnacho basically had the goal of the year, and then they were talking about it on the broadcast. And I went back and looked at it. I was like, shit, forgot about that one.
Yeah, that was pretty nasty.
Yep.
He silenced the deduction bump real fast.
True. Who you got, Dylan?
I'll stick in Liverpool. Must-watch television is Darwin Nunez, because whenever he's on the field, there's just a ridiculous goal that happens, whether it's him fucking up or just being a part of it. So I appreciate him bringing the entertainment value to the games when, you know, a big club plays and it's not so zero.
Agreed. Darwin's must-watch TV at this point. I think, Michael, you, when you were here this weekend, we were talking to Ian about that, and it's honestly, for nothing else, the guy's work rate is out of control. So, big Darwin, you know, as much as I don't want you guys to win the league, if it does happen, I love Klopp, kind of like Darwin. My dudes of the week, second to last pick, are the Guardians, Cleveland Guardians. Big winning streak. Michael is going to roll his eyes here. He said it's 8 games in. We're leading the Twins right now 3-1. We might end up losing by the end of the episode. You guys stick around to hear if we do or do not. But better start than I thought was going to happen, and we scored more runs in 8 games than I feel like we did over months last year. So shout to the Gardos.
I just want to say we are through just under 5% of the season.
Yep. Yep. And the next 5%, I'll be right there. Look, I got I'll always be the Jake. I'm down. And then my last dudes of the week are actually two dudettes, and social justice warrior John's going to come out here. But shout out to Alex Morgan and Lindsey Horan because their teammate Corbin Albert said some bullshit and said some dumb stuff and liked some pretty stupid posts. And I think it's good to confront a young person when they do something dumb like that so that they can get better and correct themselves. So that's all I'll say. Religion sucks. But, you know, shout out to those two for being good captains. Michael, your next pick.
No, Dylan's up.
Dylan, your next pick.
I think I told you guys it's been a busy work week, so I haven't watched a lot. But I will go with the Philadelphia Union for being one of three teams in the MLS that is still undefeated. So don't worry about the CONCACAF Champions League game that was a disaster. So forget that. But in MLS, undefeated.
Also, shout out to you. That's your best pronunciation, I feel like.
Of CONCACAF?
Yeah, you crush that.
You crush CONCACAF. CONMEBOL well, yeah. We'll work on, but CONCACAF. Well,
I would say I have to get some of it right before we start going to some of these games in the summer. CONMEBOL is going to be a problem.
You have to imagine being six Mickey U's deep trying to pronounce CONMEBOL. There's a lot of problems there.
I'm going to do that. I already got it down. Chile. We're rooting for Chile.
It's Chile. Love it. Michael, last pick.
All right. I mean, I can't be this much of a hater. Scored a hat trick. It's got to be Cole Palmer's dude of the week. We can't be this biased. So shout out to you.
Agreed.
Fuck your team, though. Fuck your team forever.
And then we said this before jumping on. The last goal was absolutely just throwing all your ears back and running as fast as you can into the wall and like hoping that it goes in. Like he crushed that ball. But two pens. If there's a negative side to that, two pens.
We can talk about the pens when we get to the game. Talk about the game when we get there.
Let's do it. All right, let's start the week off. Newcastle 1, Everton 1, Isak in the 15th minute, and then Dominic Calvert-Lewin in the 88th. For context, literally going up to this game, we were watching it, Michael texts me, he goes, you know what? I called out Dominic Calvert-Lewin and said that he might come back and he might have some production, but he's going to get injured again. He goes, guess what? He didn't get injured, but he has no production. And then he scores.
Immediately.
Bullshit. Tough result for Newcastle, though, to be honest. But the betting side of the house, and Dylan, we've talked about this multiple times when Michael's not been able to jump on. Like, you can only really bet Newcastle one game after international break. And then after that, all bets are off, essentially.
Correct. Like,
yeah.
It's a known fact. Well, I'm just saying. It's also, we went 2-0 this week. So, you know, the boys are buzzing, at least on the betting side.
There we go.
I should have bet under 1.5, though, on your guys' game, not 2.5.
Yeah, that's but Michael, that's any analysis?
No, not in particular. I mean, Everton is just really hard to like. I think they have the worst like goals to XG in the Prem. Like they just cannot finish a shot. I know Chelsea is also pretty bad. I don't know who's are worse, but they produce a lot of chances and like good movements and stuff. They just don't score. Obviously, DCL was a part of that, scored this time. If you're Everton, if you went to St. James Park and got a point, like, you can't be mad about it. Like, it's a good result for you, 100%.
Yeah, I think it's totally fair. Also, the point about XG, Chelsea may be up there. They also have the most pens, which I found out today watching the game, like 10 on the season. Double digits. Only team with double digits pen given. Newcastle's still thin. Everton still need points to stay up. We're moving on. Maybe the shock result of the week. Nottingham Forest 3, Fulham 1. Hudson-Odoi in the 9th. Chris Wood in the 19th. And then right before half, Morgan Gibbs-White with the 3rd. Adarabayu gets one back in the 2nd half for Fulham. Guys, I'll get us through all of them before we ask who's getting relegated, but Forest have responded since getting points taken away. And I think, Dylan, you and I, we were on a pod, or it might have been Michael too. We were like, they got it. This is the time for them to actually show up and try to rectify this whole situation. 4 points in 2 games doesn't sound like much, but for them, it's a ton.
It's huge. I think Nuno got the boys rallied, basically, of saying it's either now or never. And like, there's so many teams in the Premier League that I will say I was shocked by the result, more not that Forest scored, but the fact that Fulham just basically didn't show up. But like, there are so many teams that I think are mid-table, like Fulham, that if you're away from home, it's just an utter disaster sometimes. And that's, I think, you've got a team about to get relegated with everything to fight for, going against a team that technically you could say is fighting for Europe, but on the outside standpoint, that you thought would bring more and just wasn't there.
Yeah, I mean, at 39 points, Fulham is in no danger to get relegated, but also I think the most gracious thing you can say is they're thinking about Europe. I don't even think they're fighting for it anymore.
That would be nice.
Michael, you sent a text to myself and Ian before this, and you were going to scout Anthony Robinson for us. Anything better than 6.2?
Yeah, he was the only reason that this game wasn't far worse far earlier. There were a couple passes that were like not fantastic for sure. But he is like, I would say he is one of the only players on that team. Probably the only, because like Andres Pereira, Muniz are both like more offensive minded players. He's the only guy on that team that is operating from like end line to end line all the time. Like, he is expected to defend. He's expected to chase down people's through runners. He's expected to bomb up the left side. Like, they have him do a ton of shit in his defense. And I think he does a pretty good job. I don't know what the figure on him was, like, for the transfer. I don't know if it's going to be that much or he should go for that much, but he's definitely a good player for sure.
Yeah. The only reason you guys are watching, too, is because of the Liverpool ties to him. So, will be interesting to see what happens with Forest. Again, we're going to talk about relegation here in a little bit. Bournemouth, 1-0 over Palace. Justin Kluivert, haven't heard that name in a minute with the lone goal, but Bournemouth win. They're way better than Crystal Palace. And Dylan, you mentioned Fulham with a shout at Europe. If you're Bournemouth, do you kind of believe? Do you kind of believe that you can maybe get and catch West Ham in 7th right now?
No. I mean, I got to see their schedule, but no. Like, it's the same thing as me saying I'm believing right now, which isn't the case. So, like, I hate to be that guy, but if I'm looking at the table, which very much for me I thought was in front of me, and it's not, so this is great radio. And I got a pop-up. Cool. No, if I'm looking at this, like, they're in the same boat as us, where I think they're also one of those teams that's too inconsistent. That, and honestly, not to, you know, spoiler alert, for the 4th time I'm going to trust Luton. I think Luton at home has more to play for and is probably going to beat them this weekend, and you're just going to go backwards and be in the same thing. Where ultimately, I think that 7th spot is a Newcastle-West Ham fight, ultimately. Unless Chelsea keeps... You want to get a hot take? Chelsea's going to come swoop in and end up taking it, because everyone's been fucking around too long to allow them to still be in the fight.
I don't know about Chelsea, but I hear you with the Newcastle. I mean,
they have a game in hand and 2 points off.
Yeah, mathematically it makes sense. I also kind of find it shocking how close, like, Brighton still are with all of this. But that seventh place is going to be such an interesting battle, because we saw United today, which we're going to get into, just be totally awful.
It's essentially 7-12 are Jekyll and Hyde teams that literally could be absolutely amazing, but most likely when there's an opportunity for them to step up and actually like take seventh by the horns, they go, each one of those teams will go out and have a dud of either tying a team that they shouldn't be tying or just absolutely losing to a team they shouldn't lose to.
Yeah. Michael, the cherry whisperer, pause. Any thoughts?
It's just, if it was like Bournemouth in eighth, West Ham in seventh, separated by 4 points, I would say they have a chance for sure. Just the fact that like there are, what, six variables between them of different teams. They're all going to play some variation of each other probably, or close to it. This would be a great time to get the Rain Man iPad out and map their games. But I think 12th is... Top 10, that would be what I would be shooting for. I would want top 10.
Yeah. Speaking about shooting for top 10, Burnley won, Wolves won. Larson in the 37th for Burnley gave him a little bit of a lead, and right before half, Dylan, you've mentioned this guy multiple times when we've been talking, at Nori with the tying goal right before halftime. Unfortunately, couldn't get a winner past Company's men. Where Company was not even coaching in the game, I will say also. TJ Watt, JJ Watt on the sidelines. Yeah, JJ Watt on the sidelines. What's your analysis for Wolves? What is best case scenario? What's worst case scenario?
For the rest of the year? What I'm expecting to happen is what always happens, is we're going to trip over ourselves because we don't have any depth whatsoever and everyone's injured. So I'm happy we got a tie there because I was expecting to lose the next 10 games. But realistically, like, I don't know, we'll probably win two or three more. And at this point, that tie got us over our win total of last year. So progress is progress. And the goal is to try and finish top 10 at this point. But I see us probably fading and going to 12 or
13. Do you guys get 50 points? But Cunha and Wang
come back apparently this weekend. So
that'd be positive. Do you guys get 50 points?
No, I bet you we come up short at like 48.
48, okay. That would be two more wins.
We could also get six more ties.
Yeah, good point. That is how you math. Another 1-1, West Ham 1, Tottenham 1, Brennan Johnson in the 5th, Kurt Zouma in the 19th. I did not watch this game, but having both goals happen in the first 20 minutes, then nothing afterwards, I'm sure was just thrilling. Michael, what do we think about this? This is just such a interesting matchup. And I know that on the last pod, and Dylan, I know that you've had this thought too. We thought that Tottenham was going to be pushing for that fourth spot. Not the best way to start off with that.
No. But you know what? They keep losing when Villa loses, and they still have their game in hand. So, no harm, no foul.
Actually, gained a point today.
That's a good point. So, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Just saying, no harm, no foul.
Michael, your thoughts?
Spurs still have to play Arsenal, City, and us. Villa do, too. I keep forgetting that. Because everyone keeps talking about Spurs. But I forget Villa does, too. This one is just tough because, like, I think Spurs are probably more consistent than West Ham have been, obviously by where they are in the table, but just like overall how they're playing. I just think if West Ham find, you know, their mojo with Paquita and Kudus and Antonio coming back and Bowen and all them, I think they could beat literally anybody. So again, like in the context of like wanting to get top four, yeah, you want to win this game. You were up in this game, but if you go to West Ham and they're playing well, you know, it's a tough place to go to, in my opinion.
Yeah.
I'm real flaky. I'm in the middle for everything right now.
Which makes sense because all of these teams are just bunched up together, whether you're talking about 4 and 5, like Dylan was saying, 6 through, honestly, 12 at this point. The one thing I did want to say before we broke off this game, 90th minute, forgot this guy was even playing for him, Giovanni Lo Celso gets 2 minutes. Just totally forgot that guy was on the team.
I have a question.
Yeah.
Okay. So are Tottenham in? Because I heard this from Postecoglou. Are Tottenham in the race for top three?
Four.
Top three is what I'm asking. They're 10 points off of you. So, no. But everyone keeps talking about Man United being in that race for like the 4-5 spot, and they're basically. But everyone keeps talking about how they are. They could still get fourth.
That is the media conglomerates just pushing a big brand to try and get people to want to pay attention. But anyone who actually follows this knows that that's an asinine comment.
That's the Man United tax.
Correct.
Yeah, because somebody asked him in a presser that was like, you know, what do you – basically top four, Manchester United, Villa, and he was basically like, how many points off of us are they? And he was like 9. He said, okay, so are we in a race for top three? Because we're 9 points off of, at the time, 9 points off of City. And the guy was like, no. And he goes, okay, then the fuck are you talking about, basically? So I just thought it was interesting, like, dichotomy, you know, that top, that bottom. I think United have no shot. And I think I've been saying that for a while.
Yeah, I would agree. And then watching today's game, again, we're going to get to it. Like, you can't help but just feel helpless being a fan of that team. Arsenal 2-0 over Luton Town. Odegaard in the 24th. Hashioka with the own goal in the 44th. Luton put up a scrapping fight, as always. But, you know, Arsenal need to win. They needed to win. They needed to win, and they won. So, that's all I had. Expect to win.
Again, like, they did everything they were supposed to. Luton are actually not a tough or not a bad team at all. They're very tough, very scrappy, very physical. This shit doesn't matter. I understand goals in the back of the net matter, but if you only get a 0.73 XG against Luton at home, it's just not a good, not confidence boosting, in my opinion.
Yeah. Not a good recipe. Not a good recipe. I totally agree.
Winning is absolutely everything, though. I just want to point that out.
Does Luton finish in a Europa Conference League spot in the French League?
No. No. We can't be that disrespectful.
I always like the question. I think that Gabby Jesus scores 40 goals in the French League.
We know.
Brentford 0, Brighton 0. We don't really talk about nil-nils, and I don't think we're going to talk about this one. But the one thing I will say is that De Zerbi did call out Ansu Fati over the weekend and said that he needs to prove himself a little bit more with the last couple of weeks in his loan. I will say I don't feel like he's had that good of a stint where he's been with Brighton, and I'm a little disappointed by that. So that's all I had.
Do you see De Zerbi, like, going crazy after they drew this game?
I did not.
Like, he was pumped.
As pumped, like, as Pochettino was after they beat United?
No.
Because that was criminal. That was terrible. De Zerbi's interesting. Michael, like, Dylan's now here, so maybe you need to put it even more on the record. De Zerbi ends up being the Liverpool coach. What's your excitement rating, 0 to 10?
Like a 5. 4.
Okay.
So again, I don't want this to come off as like pretentious or anything. I just think that there is like an element of like a personality that kind of has to be the Liverpool coach. And I don't know if that's, I'm not from there. I don't live there. I don't talk to people from there. It might just for me be because of Klopp, because he is literally the like one of the biggest personalities. It would feel weird to me if I just had a very like calm, reserved person as the coach. Yeah, I could probably get over it. I'm sure I could, but I'm just saying.
Zerbi's no Michigan man, so you know, can't bring him.
Yeah, shit. That actually is tough. He is a weirdo, bro. I'm sorry. Yeah. He is a weird dude.
He is indeed. City 4, Villa 1. Rodri in the 11th, Duran in the 20th, Foden right before half, and then two more in the second half in the 62nd and 69th minute. Let me give you a quick synopsis. from the 20th minute to the 43rd minute, I was talking to Michael, and I was questioning if we should be firing Pep, essentially. Right? Yeah. Not literally, but...
You were saying stuff along those lines, so...
I was despondent. Foden with a great performance, obviously, with a hat trick. It ended up being what you need to do to a team that is one place behind you when you're at home, 4-1 win. It was way better in the second half, and it was way, way, way better than the match against Arsenal at the weekend. But, and Dylan, I think you'd be able to contribute on this one. The offensive production for Man City in this game, because they sat Haaland and they played Julian Alvarez, was really interesting. And some might say better. And I'm not of the ilk to think that Erling Haaland is a League Two player like Roy Keane, but there is something to be said that it kind of felt like everyone in that starting lineup put on an old pair of shoes again, and it fit perfectly. I don't know.
I don't disagree. I think you guys enjoy being more free-flowing with a false nine and playing all over the place. And the thing is, you guys are so good that you can make Haaland work. And your point, it has nothing to do because Haaland's bad. It's just a different style of play, and you guys are good enough to do it. That obviously you won a treble last year. But like, maybe you go make that money and go sell them somewhere else and just go free-flowing all over again.
I did throw into the chat, sell Haaland during this game. I'm not going to lie.
Two times.
Barcelona can give you Spotify stock for him.
Hey, and we know how great the stock market is and how like secure it is right now. But anyway, City, 4-1 win. Honestly, a pretty big win. If the train wreck that was a plane crash wasn't the Chelsea-Man United game, I'm thinking we would have talked about this one a little bit more. But they took care of business. And I will say this. There cannot be a point dropped from this point out if City want to win it for them. I don't think. I think you got to run the table. I personally do not think we're going to do it, because I actually just feel like we ran out of runway. I was telling you, Michael. I was like, I felt like you had to get 7 points out of the last 3 games, and we ended up getting 5, which kind of is going to kill us. So...
Hey, I am weirdly, like, more fearful of Arsenal right now.
Yeah.
Just because, like, again, I know I talked to you, but I'll just let Dylan in on how my mind works.
Or the other listeners, because this is a podcast for other listeners.
I can't, with being probably the most online person here, I can't bear going online with Arsenal winning a league. Like, it would just be horrible.
Yeah. It'd be tough. I will say, Dylan, you're the MLS guy. Michael, not to change the subject, but Duran, he must have been a beast in Chicago.
Yeah, but the problem is the rest of Chicago was trash.
So bad, yeah. Okay. You mean Zirdan Shaqiri wasn't passing them the ball as much as he needed to?
Shaq was good for the Fire. It might have been them too, literally.
Yeah. He's impressive though. He's super strong and so fast. Like, he's a problem. Crazy. It's almost like they didn't have much let up from Ollie Watkins not playing. But again, City with the win. Maybe we need to think about playing Julian Alvarez when we need to score a goal or be a little bit more free flowing. Who's to say? 3-1. Liverpool beat Sheffield United. Darwin Nunez in the 17th minute with a deflected goal that is just hustle points. Bradley with an own goal in the 58th tied it up. McAllister in the 76th with a just goal of the week easily for the game winner. And then Gakpo got one in the 90th. I will say this. I took Josie for a long walk during this game. And I flipped on the Chelsea-Man United game, because I was like, all right, this one's going to be closer than Liverpool-Sheffield United. I'm getting to about halftime, just with it in my pocket listening to it, and I heard them say, we do have to report that Sheffield United have tied up the Liverpool game. And my only reaction was like, these motherfuckers are going to make me go on the Peacock app right now just to go off the Peacock app in like 15 minutes. Like, I was so pissed. I knew it was going to happen, but I was so pissed because I was like, I got to switch this over. The Peacock app sucks. Like, it was just, it sucked. I knew it was going to happen, and I still fell for it every time. So I listened to you guys until the McAllister goal.
So funny. It was actually 18 minutes, so you're so very close. Yeah, the first, like, 2 minutes of the game, they literally should have scored a goal. And Kelleher had a great save. So, honestly, should have scored twice. The goal was total, like, he headed it. It deflected off Bradley's leg right to Kelleher's legs. You know, what are you going to do? Tough goal to give up. But I just think, like, I know we wanted to – Salah and – I don't know why Ryan Gravenberch came on. He – I have a lot of confidence that he'll figure it out. He just does not look very good right now. Like, him and Gakpo, and I know Gakpo got a goal, but they don't look super great. Szoboszlai doesn't look, you know, 100% either. They all got rested, obviously, for United at the weekend. This was definitely a game that we were – planning to do that, and it was always going to be the case. So to not, you know, completely blow it at the end was nice. The McAllister goal was nasty. The cross from Robertson to Gakpo was unreal as well. But just got to get the job done. It's not about, I was sitting here like, let's get the goal difference up. Come on, you know, let's just put like 9 past them. It shit does not matter. You, when that happens, go for it, but like, you just got to win the game.
Yeah. Robbo got some run. He's finally back a little bit. Mm-hmm. And then my only other comment is shout out to the backup goalies. Kelleher and then Stefan Ortega is the reason we won, honestly.
Sorry, I meant to say, like, I need a – I don't think you meant it in a mean way, but I need a public apology for Stefan Ortega. Because
what'd I say?
Because you said we don't have Ederson. You're talking about the injuries, and I was like, you don't have Ederson. I was like, Ortega's good, and you went, yeah. Like, I know, but he's not Ederson, which is true, but my man's a good keeper.
He is. We're going to make 20 mil off of him in the summer window. Like, literally, that's what's happening. He's playing well enough to get sold. So shout out to him, though. He's played really well from your game, Arsenal game, the Villa game, the goal. I don't really think I would blame him. It was actually a pretty nice setup and a goal. So shout out to the backup goalies. All right, the big game. Which was just absolute. They kept saying we have a good one going on here, and I was like, no, that's a really generous use of the word good. Gallagher in the 4th minute gave Chelsea a 1-0 lead. It was followed up by Cole Palmer's first goal, which was a pen in the 19th minute. Garnacho in the 34th, and then Fernandez 5 minutes later tied it up for United. We go into the second half with Garnacho again scoring in the 67th minute. To give United a 3-2 lead. We thought it was over. Palmer with another pen, 90 plus 10, and then a Hail Mary goal, 90 plus 11. Literally, maybe a minute later. Chelsea, 4-3. Winner, winner, chicken dinner. I told you guys I had a prepared statement if it would end in a tie. And my essential, what I was going to say was like, both these teams have 20 good minutes in them, and that's it. They have 20 good minutes in them. They will make multiple mistakes that will lead to them giving up a goal, and ultimately, if it ends in a tie, neither one of them are truly good enough to figure out how to win it, and then, obviously, Chelsea got the last goal, so I couldn't really say that, but that was my thought.
I was going to say that they're Batman and Joker, and that they forever deserve each other. To go back and forth on the most ridiculous. Like, the games are fun, but it just, like, to your point, neither of them know how to finish, and then, obviously, or close, and then just happen to be Chelsea this time that sorted it out. But I'll let Michael go, and then Nick wants me to read his statement, which I think I should, because I don't think it's going to go how he wants it to go, because I'm probably going to get shit on him.
The only thing I'm going to say, and I want you to know I wore the coat. I put him in Dudes of the Week. He has 16 goals in the Prem, which is tied for second right now, Cole Palmer. 8 penalty goals, the most in the Prem. You had mentioned Chelsea have the most penalty goals. I know he's a midfielder, kind of. He's more like a second striker midfielder, but he does play everywhere in a team that does not have a striker. Like, Nicholas Jackson is not that guy. I just want to put that out there because I know for a fact if Salah had 16 goals and 8 penalties, no one would shut the fuck up about it. And I know Cole Palmer's young. I know he's great. You guys let him go. You shouldn't have. It's a big failure. But we're talking about him being the Premier League player of the year. And it's just not even close, in my opinion. Yeah.
I agree with that. We shouldn't have let him go is the nicest compliment you can give to a player, I think, in all honesty.
Yeah, I think if you're maybe at the beginning of the year before he's done all this at Chelsea, if he stayed at City, I don't know how much he plays because Pep is very like in his own way. I think if you were like, oh shit, this is the production we could get and we could retroactively go back and get him and keep him, I think you'd do it in a heartbeat for sure.
Yeah. Dylan, go ahead and give us Nick's statement because I'm sure Michael and I will have an assessment of his statement.
3 texts. Quote, unquote. Or I guess I should start with quote. Beginning of quote. This season is killing my sporting soul. I don't know where to go from this. What's the answer? Who the fuck knows? This is why we can't have nice things. Chelsea didn't deserve to win, but it's what we earn. I might not watch another game this season. Unquote. End quote.
Two quick comments real quick before you go.
I hope they're the same as what I'm thinking.
One, can we retire we can't have nice things? Like, it's just like an old person phrase. Like, he just shows 40. His age every time he says shit like that. And Nick, I'm talking to you directly here. We're going to get you some slang that you can use that's a little bit better.
The guy works where he should know all the slang.
He should start saying that's the bollocks.
Yeah. And that's how the cookie crumbles, Nick.
Can't say that one. Cannot say that one.
It's from a movie from 2004.
That's older than the other one.
Anyway, the other thing I'll say is the person that edits this podcast, if you're not going to watch any of these games, you got not much use on a podcast about the games. I'm just going to throw that out there, Nick.
I think just strictly United games is what he meant.
All right. I'm assuming. Former United correspondent.
Lost our United correspondent for the year, it sounds like.
Yeah, so, wait, hold on. Let's assign him a team now. So if he's not watching the games, who...
We're putting him on the Burnley Nottingham Forest beat, and he is going to be our direct line into the relegation scrap.
Yeah. Yes, that is the punishment.
every time it's a bottom 5 team playing each other, he has to watch that game. He has to give us 250 word essay.
Yeah, I love this. All right, perfect. Dylan, go ahead. Give me your thoughts on Nick's comments.
I hate to kick him while he's down, but like the fact that he says he doesn't want to watch another game this season, and I know he will, and he's just saying it to say it, but it's very much like, that it doesn't help the cause of, oh yeah, I didn't pick United because I thought I was getting a big 6 team that wins all the time, like back in the early 2000s. Like, it more screams like, I expected to win all the time, so I'm gonna take my ball and go home. That's no fun. That's the whole point of fandom. Welcome to the mid table. I was gonna say something mean. I'm keeping that one to myself. But welcome to the mid-table. This is what life is like. You don't know what you're going to get, and you just have to be excited when a game goes well, and you have to realize that you're going to have a chance to go to the semifinals in Wembley, and you're going to give up 2 goals just like they did. And now you get to play Coventry City. So, like, it happens. Get over it. You still watch. And at least you know you're not going to have Ten Hag next year. Like, if anything, you got more clarity from that game than anything else.
Absolutely. Dylan, your point was so, like, I knew that is what you're going to say. So I went back to the first year that we did this podcast, 2019-2020. And I'm taking a look at the mid-table. Sheffield United was in 9th. Burnley was in 10th. Southampton was in 11th. Everton was in 12th. And Newcastle was in 13th. And I'm telling you what, This game was a 2019-2020 Sheffield United versus Southampton game. That's all this was. Like, and those two teams in the middle of that season. Exactly. Those two teams in the middle of that season, no Southampton fan was like, I'm never watching this team again.
Not to mention, these games are at least entertaining. They are. I will give them this. They are soul draining. Like, I get that. But they're entertaining.
Yeah.
You ever watch a mid-table Wolves game from 2 years ago that was literally going to be 0-0 or 1-0 and you held on to your butt just to hope it, especially when the goal happened in the 6th minute so the bus was parked? Like, that's a different type of game. At least here, there's fun shit going on while everything's blowing up around you.
Speaking of that 2019-2020 season, you guys finished 7th and you had 51 goals and the closest team around you was like Sheffield with 39. Everyone else had like 60 something. So to your point, vintage Wolves essentially. I felt like when he had that statement, I had the same thought. I was like, I want to bitch about City, but at least I know that like we're second, third. Like, there's things I want to complain about, but I have the wherewithal to be like, I'm not complaining about this.
I think you're allowed to complain. Like, I have no problems with complaining, but at a certain point. I think Nick is normally not a delusional United fan, but like, you still have to have your expectations and know what the season is. And like, at this point with 9 games to go, I feel like it should be like, I know what this team is just the same. And I hate to go back to the Wolves, but like, I've seen this show before. We get to the last 9 games, everyone's played the same 11 the whole year and we run out of steam. Like, this is just how it goes. It's a cycle of life. Like, you guys get into a battle with Liverpool at the end of the year, and then someone's going to win by 1 point. This is just how the world works. Like,
it's the coach in Nick, I think, where he's, like, still holding out for the shot that Man United just goes on a tear. And we just need to coach him into it, you know what I mean? Like, he's not going to give up on him. And when they do this, he's not mad. He's just disappointed. The one thing I will say is I haven't heard any Hoyland shit for a couple of weeks now. And, like, that's all you were hearing when they were winning. So, man, both these teams are bad. Michael, you want to finish this off?
I just want to say for the next approximately 66 hours, I have nothing bad to say about Manchester United.
That is, I'm so happy for you to finally not want to reverse jinx yourself there or jinx yourself.
Speaking of,
good colors.
Great colors. Eric Ten Hag, underrated. let's get into predictions. Update here. Michael, still in the lead, 169 and 134. I am in second, 160 and 143. Nick in third, 157 and 146. Dylan, 148 and 155, getting closer. It's 6-4, getting closer to 500. I'm looking at Nick, who I know filled his out while he's waiting to board his plane, and you can just see the anger that the gray is added to these areas. Like, you can just tell. You can tell that he was smashing the phone to be able to add these on there. Anyway, let's get into it. First game of the week, Palace City. It's at Palace. They're a bogey team of ours, but I got City. I think we're going to give it our best shot to win out this season. Michael?
I also have City. I think I just have to... City, Arsenal, I'm just always picking you because, you know, if you do win, at least I get you right in the predictions.
Yeah. Dylan?
City. Anyone that's in this title race, I will be picking just because I need to try and get to 500.
Good call.
Being completely honest.
Yep, good call. Villa hosting Brentford. Brentford's scrappy but kind of shitty lately. Villa need to bounce back after the loss. I'm going to keep going. I got Villa in this one. It's at home. They play really well at home. Michael?
I think everybody will get over the flu by this game. Everybody will be fine. I think I got Villa as well.
Dylan?
I've got Villa, but closer than the experts think. Mostly for the fact that I think they actually figure out how to score a goal this time with 31 shots.
This big Lee Corso game, I feel like. Big Lee Corso game. Everton, they're going to host Burnley. Michael, who you got in this one?
I got Everton. I talked shit about them, and they did something I didn't think they would. So I'm going to try to be nice and see if I can reverse jinx them. But just in case it has nothing to do with me, I got him for the win.
Dylan?
I didn't know who to pick, and Michael's in first and chose Everton, so I'm taking Everton. Even though every time I take Everton, they break my heart. But I will. I'm with Hank this weekend, so I will ride with them.
Damn. I probably need to learn from that too, so I can try to get 20 games over. But I want Spice, and I want Spice in the bottom of the table, so I pick Burnley just on vibes. Manager bounce back.
Play bad this week, like against us. Like it. I don't think it's unrealistic that they actually would.
Some would argue that maybe we'll play better with a new manager.
You're calling this a new manager bump off of him coming?
No, I'm saying, like, maybe they should have fired him. I don't know. That's fair. There's no bigger Vincent Kompany apologist than myself. Yeah?
Sorry, it just jogged my memory. I would just want to say that I really respect Vincent Kompany coming out and holding firm in his position that we shouldn't criticize the referees. And not criticize the referees after they made a terrible call for Burnley. I think he's a man of honor, very morally in line with what he thinks. I really respect him for that.
Yeah, he's a man that they built statues of. He's a great man, powerful.
Not as a coach.
Yeah, well, it's still pretty early, but Napoleon and Genghis Khan, that's what he's going to do. Fulham's going to host Newcastle. Michael, who you got?
I got Fulham. They can't play bad twice, three times in a row. Even though I said last week they can't play bad twice in a row. But Newcastle away, not as good. So I got Fulham.
Dylan?
I actually had the same thought process. I was like, they play like such shit, and they normally play better at home. I think they score two or three goals, and hopefully it's just more than Newcastle probably scoring three or four.
Dude, I'm picking Newcastle, and I'm regretting saying it. But I just... All the things are pointing to not picking them, especially with us knowing that, like, three games in a week's time, essentially, for Newcastle is, like, a recipe for disaster. Do I switch it? I'll keep Newcastle. Fuck it. Let's ride. Luton's going to host Bournemouth. Dylan, who you got?
Taking Luton. I've died on a sword twice when they've had also 3-0 leads and then blew it, so I'm expecting that again, but I'm taking Luton.
I think that's a good pick. I actually feel like if Bournemouth can go into Luton and get a dub, I have a lot, and I have a ton of respect for Bournemouth, but I got a lot of respect for Bournemouth at this point. I'm gonna roll with cherries. Michael?
There have been 9 draws in the last 2 match weeks. This is a draw.
Yeah, you're probably right. Diversity of pick, though. Look, don't say that we don't represent the spectrum. Wolves. Hosting West Ham. Dylan, who you got? Why'd you laugh at that?
West Ham. I have no idea who's playing. There might be 4 more 17-year-olds playing, so it might be our U21s versus them.
I think this is a draw. It's at Wolves. I think you guys will play better, and I think West Ham's still going to be kind of up for it, so I got a draw.
Cool. 5 more to go.
There you go. Michael?
I also got a draw. You know, there were 9 draws the last 2 match weeks.
Which is why I'm zagging. I'm not taking a single draw this week.
See, that's what's going to happen. There's not going to be one, I guarantee you.
Brighton's going to host Arsenal. I got Brighton. Or no, I have Arsenal. Jesus, I'm losing it. I got Arsenal in this one. I think they still haven't really figured it out, and I don't trust the Zerbi. Michael?
I have Arsenal. They're going to win this game.
There's better. Dylan?
I'm going to take a tie.
No way.
No, I'm kidding. I've already given it. Just mark me for Arsenal and Liverpool and City for the rest of the next 9 games.
Yeah, I feel it. Speaking of, United hosting Liverpool. It's at Old Trafford. Michael, what's going to happen?
Got a lot of respect for them. They're a very well-coached team. They got a lot of good guys over there.
A lot of talent.
Yeah,
all over the field.
I'm only doing this because it's my team. I'm picking Liverpool, but you know, I can't say enough good things about those guys over there.
You can't overlook the current game coming up.
Yeah, exactly.
Dylan?
Oh, that's criminal. I'll be taking Liverpool. United's gonna play for a draw. They need to be down 2-0 before they actually try. So because they're playing for a draw, it's not the type of game.
I got Liverpool, and I got, like, I would take a spread of like 2.5 and take Liverpool. I think you guys blow these guys out. And it's at Old Trafford. I think it'll be a culminating moment for the firing of Eric Ten Hag, to be honest with you. Sheffield United hosting Chelsea. Dylan.
We're gonna fucking lose.
I guess I'll take Chelsea after what just happened. No letdown spot here.
Yeah, I got Chelsea too. Although Michael will tell you too, like Sheffield played pretty well in that game.
I don't know about that. Chelsea also did literally last week lose two leads to Burnley at home. Like, it's not out of their own possibility, but if we're going with the numbers, yes, I also have Chelsea.
Yeah, one of the comments I didn't get out is, like, Michael, I think you sent it, is a 4-8 by Caicedo the lowest match rating of a team that won? Probably not.
I don't know.
Pretty low. last game, Tottenham. They're hosting Forest. I got Spurs in this one. Michael?
I got Spurs.
Dylan?
I don't trust them right now, but I'm taking Spurs.
Yeah. It they need to string some points together before we start talking about them pushing for top four. All right. That is predictions done and dusted. Dylan, any bets before you get us out of here with a joke?
Yes. I've got three. We're going to take... I think Fulham Newcastle is going to be a banger. We're taking over 3.5 plus 130. I'm getting frisky because I think this always happens, and I said they're going to play for a draw. I'm going to take the under 2.5 in Liverpool Man United at plus 225. That will probably lose, but I'm going to try. So you're welcome, Michael, when it ends up being like a 5-1 game for you. And then Nottingham Forest Tottenham, I'm going to take both teams to score no draw, plus 105.
I think that's a safe one. Forest somehow find a way to score. Dylan, the other thing, back-to-back games. Gio, only 20-some minutes, but he's in.
If Gio starts, I change my pick to Forest. Similar to the Tyler Adams thing.
That's fine. I'll make sure if he does start, I'll flip you to Forest.
Allow the contingency.
If I also forgot that Tyler Adams and Bournemouth might actually fuck up Luton, but whatever. We've made our pick. But yeah, Gio's, you know, all he had to do was dazzle a little bit against Mexico and Nuno's seeing the shine.
There is a prior podcast that I remember clipping a TikTok off of where you were criticizing Thomas Tuchel for just not playing Pulisic. He was like, just play Pulisic, you'd be in a title fight. Gio's gotten in back-to-back games, and they haven't dropped points.
And guess who's losing Bayern his first trophy, their first trophy in basically 10 years for winning the league? And guess who's having the best season of his career? Science.
Exactly. Yeah. American bias is just science at this point. All right, Dylan, get us out of here with the joke.
All right. So, Phil Foden and Cole Palmer, what do they normally like to say on Halloween when they're getting the candy? Hat trick and treat. Cheers.
The NAFTA Podcast.
Sometimes it may be good, sometimes it may be shit.